When Joe asked me to read today, I figured it's because this reading has some shouting and a little bit of irony, and thought I'd be comfortable with that. Hear now what the Spirit has to say to you through these words. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
From now till June 30th, I'm inviting some special people to be liturgists with me so I can honor them and thank them. And most of them are clergy members of the congregation. And today is a case in point. You had Wendy Tajima, who's just been your liturgist this morning, and many of you know that she's in the choir. What you may not know, many of you may not realize where she spends her week. She is the executive presbyter of the San Gabriel Presbytery. She is an ordained pastor in the Presbyterian Church USA. If you don't understand that big word that I just told you of executive presbyter and what she does, Wendy's job is quite complex. I would never want it. She has two major pieces in her portfolio. She has to deal with congregations, and usually congregations that find themselves in times of trouble or challenge because of their pastors, usually. And on the flip side, she also has to be a pastor to the pastors. And some of us think we don't need pastors, and that makes your job even more difficult. It is probably one of the most demanding forms of ministry out there. So I applaud Wendy for what she does and the gifts that she gives to the church. Thank you. So there are two things about Wendy that I want to lift up. I'm not done with Wendy. The first is, if you enjoy the screens and the incredible form of ministry that takes, it's because of Wendy. We started with the screens back in 2008, my friends. Some of you were here before that, and we started by projecting things on the back wall over that summer just to see if people would even buy into this idea before we invested in the monitors and getting them installed. And my fear and concern is every church I've been to that projects worship, it was pretty dull and boring and absolutely awful, if I may say so. Because they just put on white backgrounds, black words, and that's all you ever saw for an hour. It was pretty miserable, if you will. But that was not Wendy's vision and gift. She brought us art. Art is another way of praise. She set the bar pretty high that Chris Meadows and now Sandy Rogers have had to follow, and both of them have done an incredible job taking Wendy's vision and allowing that to happen. So for the last 11 years, you have been able to worship and have a different part of your senses touched. So thank you, Wendy, for that gift. The other thing I said about Wendy is her job is to be the pastor to pastors. Not only does she do that in the presbytery where she serves out in the San Gabriel Valley region, she has done that for me. And that I appreciate more than anything, because pastors also need pastors. She has been one who has come to me at tough moments and challenging times and just simply pulled me aside and said, "Joe, how are you doing?" That's what pastors do for their flock. So thank you, Wendy, for that gift. That's a personal thank you from me to you. So now we're going to talk about this day of Palm Sunday. I'm going to begin with a story, so just imagine with me. I get up early on Sunday morning. I do that every week to go into the kitchen and take my flour, my yeast, my water, and begin to mix the bread for the day. As I stood there that morning, as I do every morning early, just as the sun had risen, looking out my window and I'm kneading the bread, I begin to see something I don't usually see early on Sunday morning out on my road. I live on the Bethany Road. It's one of the roads in Jerusalem that are connected to our five city gates. If you keep going out my road and you go through the city gate and leave Jerusalem and then another 5 to 7 miles, you'll reach Bethany. So that's why we call this the Bethany Road. So I'm sitting there standing there looking out the window, kneading my bread, what I do week after week on Sunday morning. And I see some dust out on the road, and usually there's nothing out on the road, no sign of life. People are still at home resting. All of a sudden, I see a few people running down the road out toward the gate. And I wonder, what on earth is going on this early on Sunday morning? But I keep kneading the bread and look out the window, and the dust grows more and more and more. People are running down the road. I step out of my house and go to the lane to see what I can see. And all I can see are clouds of dust and people running out toward the gate. I go back in and keep kneading the bread, and finally, when it's ready to be left alone to rise, I decide that maybe I should just go out and see for myself and learn what's going on out here. But by the time I get back out the next time, there are already people gathered in front of my house, and I'm having trouble seeing down the road. I see my neighbors there and people I've never seen before. Kids are now sitting up on their parents' shoulders trying to get a better view, and I begin to ask, what's going on? Most people don't know. They're all with the same question. And in the faint distance, I can hear some hosannas being sung. And I'm thinking, that's music for church. Then the crowd grows. Someone comes running down the lane and say, "He's coming." And we say, "Who's coming?" And they say, "Jesus." And then I notice people are climbing up in the trees, cutting down branches. And as he begins to come, we can see him with a whole crowd following behind. And people are running out into the road, dropping these branches from the trees and taking off their jackets and throwing them down in front of them so he has a royal road to ride in on. Oh, I've never seen anything like it. And as we ask one another, we ask that simple but powerful and important question, who is this? By the time he reaches my house, the hosannas are loud and clear. "Hosanna, Son of David!" You can hear the shouts. And I think to myself, who is this? Well, everything I've heard, everything I've seen in this moment makes me tingle from head to toe. Could this be the Messiah that I've heard about all of my life? He must be, because you only say "Hosanna, Son of David" when the Messiah is coming. I've heard that all my life. Every time I've gone to the temple on Saturday and received my Sabbath lessons, and as an adult, that's what the priests have told us to to be prepared and look out when the Messiah comes. You'll shout, "Hosanna, Son of David." And I see he's on a donkey. I know my Bible. I know exactly what Zechariah says. This is the Messiah. And I think to myself, no wonder all of my neighbors in the crowd are so excited. Finally, we have received the gift we have been longing for generations. This Messiah is going to come in and save us. This Messiah is going to come into Jerusalem and get rid of those pesky Romans once and for all. He's going to claim the throne in Jerusalem and become our new king, just like his ancestor David. Things are going to change. We are going to be set free. It is a day to sing Hosanna. That's how the week started. That's not how the week goes. As the week went on, this man Jesus showed over and over again he wasn't going to be what I thought he was going to be. Have you ever had that experience with God? The God you thought you wanted and needed was not the God that God turned out to be. How many times have you been disappointed with God, asking for some prayer to be answered that never got answered your way? Got yourself into some bind or a problem and wanted to find a way out, and you said, "God, please help me," and God didn't open the door the way you wanted. Sometimes we do exactly what happens in Jerusalem at this time in this story. You think you're greeting one kind of God only to be disappointed, and you simply just turn your back and walk away. How many times have we walked away from God when God did not give us what we want? But we have to be careful, because we have to remember that our faith teaches us that God is not always the God we think. That God's ways are not our ways. How many times have you heard that in your life? And how many times have you found that to be true? God's ways are not always our ways. And I think actually it's probably pretty good for us to not have the God we want, but to have the God we need. Amen. Not the God we want, but the God we need. I think that's the whole point of Palm Sunday. If you don't learn anything else today besides you came to church and got to wave some branches, remember that. Because that's the whole point of the story. You see, the God they wanted, their Messiah that they were waving those branches for and shouting Hosanna, did not turn out to be the God they needed. They expected that Messiah to come in and be an army general, to raise up the Jews, get their weapons, and go to Jerusalem and kick out the Roman Empire, which actually they would have never pulled off, but they thought if they just had the right leader, they could do it, because that's what oppressed people think. And they were an oppressed people, and they were tired of living in oppression, and they wanted a way out. And they were looking for earthly means, which were military means. And they wanted this Messiah to be in the line of King David, because when King David ruled, they were the supreme power of the world. But that was a long time ago. That was only in the memory of their ancestors and the story that they had heard from their grandmothers and grandfathers. They had never lived in that reality. But that's what they wanted to go back to, a vision of the past, when things were the way they wanted it. So they expected this guy on the donkey not to stop in front of the house where I'm making my bread, but to go right to the seat of power. go right to the temple and start raising a troop of people who are going to go and be soldiers in his fight. Going to go over to the Roman palace and confront Pilate and his troops and get them out of town and clean up Jerusalem. That's not what he does. He goes to the temple, all right. Goes in there and gets out the money changers and the corruption in the temple. That's not what they asked him to do, but that's what he did. That's the beginning of them realizing this isn't turning out the way we want. He's saying some things we need to hear, but things we don't want to hear. And you realize how quickly the mob turns on him. By Friday morning, they're calling for his death. No longer looking for a Messiah, no longer shouting their hosannas, because he's not giving them what they want. But he is bringing them what they need. All through Lent, we've been telling some incredible stories of redemption. Stories of God bringing people what they need. This is a story that serves as a bridge between those redemption stories, for this is a redemption story because it's a story of unexpected salvation that comes. And it takes us as a bridge over to what we're going to be doing this next weekend. When we gather on Thursday night and Friday night and Sunday morning and tell the greatest of redemption stories. How God is at work. How have you discovered the surprising ways that God has worked in your life? Usually it's the gift of hindsight that allows us to see that. When we've lifted up some prayer, some need, or some concern, and we didn't think it was working out, and then in time we realize how God indeed worked it out for our good. Or how you got yourself in that tight spot, you couldn't find an exit door or a way out or a way forward. And then all of a sudden, when you least expect it, somebody opens a door you never saw. And you could walk through into your new tomorrow. That is God at work. So I'm trying not to remember these, so I want to read them to you because I thought they were pretty good when I wrote them down. No, Jesus did not command an earthly army. But Jesus did come to take command of the human heart. Jesus did not come to command an earthly army, but Jesus did come to command your heart. No, Jesus did not deliver the Jews from the Romans, but he did come to save us from ourselves. He did not come to deliver the Jews from the Romans, but he did come to save us from ourselves. And no, Jesus did not come to defeat an evil empire, but he came to do something even greater, to give us the ability to live life without fear, and better yet, to die without fear. Jesus didn't come to erase an evil empire, but he gave you the gift to live in life without fear and to let go of the greatest fear of all, which is the fear of death. See, that's not what we want, but that is what we need. Are you allowing this Messiah to ride in to your road of Jerusalem today, your heart, and give you those gifts? Are you allowing this Messiah to claim your heart and to live with you? Are you allowing this Messiah to save you from yourself, thinking that you've got to be in control and charge and make everything work out, and turn that over to God? Are you walk alongside you on the journey of your life so that you can let go of your fears, your worries, your concerns, and fully live your life? That is the gift of unexpected salvation that this Messiah on the road to Jerusalem brings to you and to me. Amen.